7 o'clock tomorrow night on the East Dock. Make sure he gets it right.
But it's alive! And everyone on the planet's going to line up to appreciate it and everything done.
People would say they could see the fleas. Oh, I could see the fleas. Mommy, can't you see the fleas?
Are these characters auto-erotic?
Come on!
Welcome to a special episode of the Jurassic Park Podcast. I'm your usual host, Brad Jost, but today I'm handing the reins over to James Hawkins and Steve Hurl of Jurassic Unicast as they sit down and chat with the legendary paleontologist and technical advisor on all the Jurassic films, Jack Horner. Now, they had the chance to chat with him during Frontier Expo a few weeks back, asked him all kinds of dinosaur questions, more about his work on the Jurassic films, and he even touches on Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Now, Jack's audio was a tad low, so listen keenly, but I think you'll enjoy this chat anyway. After that, we're going to play a few excerpts that Steve and James captured from Jack Horner's talk on dinosaurs and, of course, the films. It's going to be great, so take a listen to that one as well. Don't forget to download the podcast in iTunes or any podcast app. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Jurassic Park Pod and James and Steve at Jurassic Unicast. And don't forget to visit JurassicParkPodcast.com for all the latest updates on the franchise and, of course, the podcast. Now, double check your podcast feed today for another special episode featuring all the Jurassic Pop quiz segments that Steve and James recorded throughout that long day. Jack Horner is on that one as well. It's a really fun episode. I suggest you listen to it. But thank you, Jack, for joining James and Steve today for a chat, and I hope everybody enjoys this special episode.
So how much closer are you with the old Chickenosaurus?
Just the tail.
Just the tail? That's interesting, though. Right. It just takes so much longer, doesn't it? It's like
the tail is the hardest part.
Yeah.
And when we get the tail, when we figure that out, unless it's just some genetic pathway that is really simple, when we figure it out,
yeah,
we will have figured out how to make vertebrae out of that. Which would just be huge.
Do you think that's the closest we'll get to amber?
Amber's nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's just the cranium ontogeny that you were doing in a TED conference you did years ago. When I was watching that. I'm quite open-minded with things like that. I like the idea of how it evolved from. Stygimoloch, is it? The Draco Rex. I like that, but I also like, as a kid, the idea of there being so many dinosaurs as well, as rather than them evolving. Yeah. Is it hard being a paleontologist and having to sort of respect everyone's views and stuff?
Well, you're not bothered with people's views.
You just get on with your own work.
Yeah, public opinion doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's science. So.
Yeah. What's Mary doing at the moment? Because she normally does a lot of work for you, doesn't she?
She's still working.
Yeah.
She's really looking for me.
That must be so hard. You got the heme, didn't you?
Yeah.
You got the heme stuff, which is rare enough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, those are just some things that don't last.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You don't have much time.
What was that recent discovery? There was the ankylosaur one.
Yeah, the ankylosaur is beautiful.
Yeah, that's perfect condition, that, isn't it? Amazing.
But it's still...
Not enough. Realistically, not...
We don't even have elephant, right? Mammoth elephant.
We've not even got a mammoth elephant either.
The mammoth elephant's DNA are just fragments.
Really?
Yeah. And it's only 10,
so we've got no chance, have we then, really?
Not surviving millions of years.
No.
Not unless we can find some environment.
And discovered part.
Yeah.
Some environment that would keep the molecule from coming apart. And I'm pretty sure that the proteins that we have are fixed with iron. So that's what keeps them from coming apart. And the blood vessels and so elastin, which is a protein, hangs together, we think, because iron fixes it. So if we could find something that, you know, fixes DNA,
it must be such a long process. Yeah. Like a year. How long have you, like, since you started? Like, how long have you just? It must have been a while now. Well, you did that book was broken, that book was, yeah. Was it 2009, your book, wasn't it? You did that one that you just signed. I think it was 2009. So it's been quite a long while now. It's like
10 years.
Wow. So the movies make it look a lot more easier than it actually is. Yeah.
If only it was that easy.
No.
When we started the actual project, years before the book.
So you see that book, obviously do you not go around with the guy that wrote it with you, that
Jim Gorman?
Yeah.
No, he's a science editor for New York Times.
Oh right, fair enough. So he helps
a good writer.
He just helps you publish it.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
How did you feel about, obviously being such a, like the career that you're in, with where the films are so, you know, a bit far-fetched compared to what they would be in real life? How do you find, as a consultant, like, is it hard for you to not make, no, they wouldn't do that, they wouldn't be like that?
I want it to be a good movie too.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a documentary.
Nah.
So I'm fine with it. But I argued a lot with Steven Spielberg.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So what was it that he wanted that made you argue with him? Like,
well, I mean, he was going to make the movie he was going to make.
Yeah, no matter what.
So,
right.
So it didn't matter what he said. But I tried to, you know, get as much science in as we could, and we got a lot more science into it than had to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the old dancing DNA guy was something.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
People probably know more about DNA from that than
they're doing real. Yeah, from reading, unfortunately, yeah. It's a shame, really, yeah. But
yeah.
It's how it is these days, especially with kids. They're not gonna like it helps him in, like, to me. From I remember, for me as a young kid, like that made that more interesting. It's a very good idea, that, actually, to be fair, I think, in hindsight, to do it as a cartoon to sort of explain how the DNA works, as much as it's as far-fetched as it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So with the dinosaurs, like Stiggy Moloch, right? Stiggy Moloch is in the movie.
I suppose it is, really. Yeah, what's your favourite dinosaur? Do you have one? You don't want to be the stereotypical T-Rex, do you?
Dinosaur.
Do you know what? I thought me and Steve was having a guess earlier on. Was like, I wonder what Jack Horner's favourite. I thought it might be a Triceratops. I don't know why.
There's
something about that.
I've published a lot of papers about a lot of different dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But Mayasaur is the dinosaur that started my career.
Yeah.
And it's the dinosaur we know the most about. We've got it. We have more stuff from Mayasaur than any other dinosaur. So we have eggs, nests, babies, juvenile. We've got the whole ontogenetic series, and we have a mass accumulation of 127,000 skeletons.
Wow.
And we have their footprints, we have their ship, we just have
so much information.
So did you still work? Is it Museum of the Rockies? Is that where you work now, or you finished there now?
Retired from now.
Do you you feel happy now you've retired from there?
Filled it up.
Just, I bet the storage in them places is just incredible.
The largest dinosaur collection in the United States.
Wow. Is that the museum, obviously being over here, I've never been there. Is that the one where he's got the T-Rex outside the museum? Yeah. I've never seen photos.
Real T-Rex on the inside.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, 12 T-Rex.
12, wow. What's the biggest T-Rex that you've ever found in terms of size, like length?
We've got one that's bigger than Sue.
What? Oh, really?
No.
That's 42 feet, wasn't she, Sue?
What?
42 foot, wouldn't she say?
40 foot.
Yeah.
So yeah. They do grow that big then. That's
scary.
Yeah. So Jurassic Park's not, he's quite accurate in that respect.
Right.
But that's good.
So leading back to these sort of films, in Jurassic Park 3, there was a Spinosaurus versus the T-Rex. Now, obviously, the Spinosaurus killed the T-Rex in the film.
That was my doing.
Was that your doing? Oh, no.
So, what was your thinking behind that? Like, what made you come up with that scene to sort of help them sort of come up with a story?
Well, first off, Spielberg wanted a bigger dinosaur than T-Rex.
Yeah.
Spinosaurus is the only one.
Yeah.
And so...
And it is a beautiful dinosaur.
To be fair, it's perfect for its aquatic design, isn't it? Right. Really.
And that's exactly what it is. It never would have been on land.
No. That's what we've argued.
Yeah, it never would have been on land. It couldn't walk on land.
You know when they discovered that its legs were as short as it was? It was quite a weird transformation seeing the artists... designed the difference because it completely changed the animal straight away, didn't it?
Yep.
And like,
it has flippers.
Yeah, oh really?
Wow. Its hands are flat. I mean, they're
completely flat.
Flippers.
Oh really?
So the actual gripping of the T-Rex's hands flipping over.
That was just for a movie.
It was just a movie
effects.
Yeah.
Who's your favourite director to work with out of the three? Like in terms of like their style. Joe Johnson.
Yeah, my father.
Because he seemed to be a little bit more, you know, laid back.
So laid back. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was really, really, he's just a normal person. Steven is a nice guy, but he is so...
I've heard with Steven, he's very fast pace the way he films stuff.
And he doesn't argue with anybody. He's right all the time.
Ah.
Right? So you can't really get any... I mean, he wants his movie the way he wants it. And so I was the only person arguing with him.
Yeah.
I mean, what could he do, fire me?
Yeah, I suppose you're not going to fire the only consultant of the actual dinosaurs you're filming.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to learn his business and see how he does it.
Yeah.
But as far as working with someone, with
Joe Johnson.
Joe was really...
That's interesting.
Really good at it.
Yeah, because I think he... where obviously the film, the Jurassic Park 3 film, didn't get, it wasn't as popular as the other three, obviously, in Jurassic World, including that. It's interesting to know that he's actually a really good director to work for. Because not a lot of people would know that, would they?
No.
So.
Yeah, no, he was as interested in me learning what he was doing than the other way around. I mean, he took me to... I got to see every part of production of the...
That's it. It's amazing, isn't it? Seeing established studios.
I got not only to see the sets, but to see how they were made. I got to see how every component of the movie worked, including putting the music in.
Wow. We were fortunate enough last year, we went to the Royal Albert Hall to watch the live orchestra of Jurassic Park. And we had friends of ours, the Jurassic cast, we went behind the scenes and worked on the sound as well, didn't we? Like, had a look at and saw all the percussion, and it's a lot of work. And it's amazing how people, all these teams come together to make a film like that. And it's
2-hour long film,
cut down. What's it like seeing them animals in the flesh when you see like the monsters like there?
You mean the animatronics?
The animatronics, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's unreal.
T-Rex. Yeah,
is that your favourite one out of all of the animatronics, the T-Rex?
It's the one they put the most work into, isn't it?
Spinosaurus was pretty cool because, you know, any time they had an animatronic, it wasn't a whole dinosaur.
Yeah, it's only like a torso.
A dinosaur, it's been really rough.
Yeah.
So, the T-Rex was, you know, sort of the front half of it, and then the legs were completely separate.
Wow.
So when you see him walking, you know,
it's all CGI. It's just,
yeah.
No. It's anytime you see a piece of a dinosaur, it's an animatronic.
Okay. But if it's the legs down, moving that's around, all it's all CGI,
No, if it's legs down, it's an animatronic, but it's just legs. They didn't make a whole dinosaur.
Oh, right.
They made the whole dinosaur in lots of pieces. So
you'd have the upper torso at the end, yeah.
The biggest animatronic they made for any of the movies is Spinosaurus. And it's legs. And everything forward.
They all came separate and was filmed different times for different scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's just,
and then there's one suit.
What, for a human?
Yeah, one suit, and it's in Jurassic Park. And it's when you see the sort of between the. There's a scene where there's a. Some furniture, and you see the legs of you see a raptor walking.
Oh, the kitchen scene.
Yes.
And he's tapping the claw.
That's a.
That's a human that's a walking suit. Around. Excellent. I'd love to try that costume on, just wandering around.
I won't be able to not picture. You'd have too much fun,
like scaring people, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like jumping out of them and stuff.
Yeah, but it's just the bottom. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just
a, oh, so you wouldn't have the same effect.
Just these massive legs.
Steve, what are you doing inside them legs? Oh,
that's awesome. It's good to hear, like, stuff that's not really released.
Yeah, the media kind of, you know, they pick the bits they want to talk about, don't they?
Yeah.
Not the details that's really, like, I find that sort of stuff really interesting, like, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
How do you think the franchise is going, like, with the whole, and I think personally the whole mixing of DNA with the hybrid stuff is human nature for me. I think that's what we do as a species. Did you think that, like, in your opinion, that's like the way they're heading's good?
Well, that's the Indominus was the most accurate dinosaur ever made.
I thought it was.
It's the most
digitally, I think it looks stunning.
Yeah.
It's basically a 50-foot raptor, isn't it? It's a 50-foot raptor.
Yeah.
It's like perfect. Yeah. No. On fan forums, you always get like, oh, would a Spinosaurus or a T-Rex be an it's too much of a killing machine.
Yeah.
It's just that thing was just indestructible.
Like
you needed that huge Mosasaurus to finish that off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it never would have stopped. You looking forward to the next film? So I assume you do watch them. You've watched them all. Yeah. It's such a big part of your sort of industry, isn't it?
The script is great.
Oh, the new one. Did you consult on the newest one? Oh, excellent. Lucky man. We can't wait. Like,
we're still waiting for a trailer.
Yeah, your trailer's probably just at the end of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not too far away.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, can't wait. Do you know what, though? Thank you so much for changing. We're going to walk around.
Yep.
I look forward to your talk later.
All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, mate.
Thank you very much.
All the best. Hope you good luck in your talk.
Is yours a VIP?
Huh?
Is yours a VIP?
I was brought on by Steven Spielberg. I hadn't really met Michael Crichton. I met him on the way to the premiere of the movie. And at that time, he asked me if it was all right if he made a character based on me, which was an interesting time to ask. And Steven asked me if I would work on the movie version, and he said, my job was to make sure the dinosaurs looked as accurate as possible. And of course, that meant as accurate as possible and as accurate as possible in computer graphics. And of course, if many of you probably know that the computer graphics were brought in to Jurassic Park in the middle of shooting. We started with claymation, and computer graphics were brought in the middle. And so you know, the very first scene that you see in Jurassic Park, where they're sitting on the hill looking out, this is basically the first computer graphics in this movie. And Alan Grant is looking out and, you know, basically says, they really do travel in herds. And that's cool, because obviously that's what I keep saying, right? The nice thing about being the technical advisor is you can prove yourself right. So I was brought into all of the movies and you know, talked to the actors about how to pronounce the words right, and argued with Steven a lot, and he always won. And so we see the movie the way we see it. I did get to introduce Spinosaurus into Jurassic Park 3. We knew at the time that it was a fish eater, but we wanted a dinosaur big enough to kill T-Rex realistically. Obviously, it couldn't really do that because it ate fish. But it looks good in the movie. And so, you know, I had worked on Jurassic Park. I really like the idea of bringing dinosaurs back. I want one really bad. And I tried to find the DNA to make one, but we didn't find that. That didn't work. But, you know, birds are already dinosaurs. Everybody knows that, right? Birds are dinosaurs. So you don't really have to. I mean, we already have them. But if you look at the two, well, we're not going to make movies about chickens. We do make movies about velociraptors. So all birds are dinosaurs, not just one kind of bird, but all of them. All birds are related to each other. What we're actually doing, this kind of genetic engineering, is exactly, you know, what we were talking about in Jurassic World. That is what Indominus Rex is. Indominus Rex is a genetic hybrid, right? Indominus Rex is the most accurate dinosaur that's ever been made. It's the most accurate dinosaur that's ever been made, right? Because we made it, right? I made it just like I wanted it. I wanted it white. Yes. Well, I assume you know that that's cuttlefish, right? So basically, you just take a lot of gene, you transgenically make an animal. If we had brought dinosaurs back and dinosaurs were alive now, we could make an Indominus Rex easily. We could do that. But we haven't brought dinosaurs back. When I was working with Steven, I said, Steven, we need to make these dinosaurs feathery, and we need to make them brighter colored. And he said, Technicolor dinosaurs are not scary. Well, they probably aren't, but let's at least try to make them real. Thank you.
Make sure to visit JurassicParkPodcast.com to find all our past episodes, brand new news articles, information on how to contact us, and much more. It's a great source for everything related to the podcast, and of course, Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. Head to JurassicParkPodcast.com and help us build a great community.
Anybody hear that?
Five minutes. Drop what you're doing and leave now.